Lowe's early Black Friday deals are going fast. Don't miss up to 50% off select major appliances. Plus, up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. And with Christmas around the corner, you're going to need more string lights, right? Save $4 on GE LED 100-count string lights, now just $5.98. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. Select locations only while supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Hey, folks, thanks again for listening. I really do appreciate it beyond measure. Just so you know, I am now on YouTube as Box Number 7. Now, don't get too excited, because thus far it's just an audio product, even from there with the primary broadcast episode graphic sort of gracing the front. So I'm a one-man operation. I simply don't have time for video editing, writing, and researching. This is already a thing, and even though these episodes are routinely short, the brief overview research and ability to write it into a digestible chunk of audio still is kind of a thing. So if this podcast manages to blow up, I'll bring a crew on, or I'll at least be able to, sequester my time in a way where I can kind of make the video portion a lot better. Although I am getting traffic over there, that's for sure. But as many people are averse to podcast apps, for some reason, YouTube is a friendly environment for them. I guess it's a thing, so pass it on if you would, please. Also, in the meantime, if you wouldn't mind, would you please go to your favorite platform, drop some stars over there, and even a review for me, because I know it sounds cliche when you listen to every podcast that's sort of asking you to do this. It really does help. All right, so on with the show. I had originally recorded an entire show already, and it was nearly 30 minutes in length, and have since had to scrap it for revision. I'll just say this for now. I was researching a 48-year-old local murder case and discovered that there was this thin thread connecting it to another long-ago prosecuted high-profile case, and it appeared to me at the outset that there may have been an unexplored connection, or at any rate, an unvetted one. I wasn't even looking to do that. I just wanted to breathe life into the name of a long-forgotten soul, which I will eventually do anyway, that had been lost to obscurity. So I reached out to an investigator with a local law enforcement agency to simply give out a possible theory, and one that I had never known about, in the name of just being Joe Citizen, not trying to prove a thing. Pretty quick, I was generically informed that all possible avenues had been explored and that my theory of connectivity was already worked out and vetted and dispensed with years ago. And logically, at least to me, it seems that someone would have done this. So anyway, I don't have the intended show that I was going to post this week, but I will cover it either next week or the next. We'll get it, and it's going to be even better, actually, because when you see the connections that I did draw, you will at least try to see why I tried to simply pass on the idea. I'm not interested in being a true crime podcast or trying to be Nancy Grace. I just need to retrofit my premise to say that I sort of have to trust that someone wasn't just blowing me off at the same time. I worked in law enforcement, and ego is it's a thing sometimes. Anyway, I realized that the unceremonious dismissal of my theory without actually listening to my particular findings actually gave me the setups for another show, a theoretical rundown of why I actually prefer talking about history over current events. Number one, I'm not going to be making revised shows, but actually that's not one of my official reasons. But that's what I'm going to do here on Box Number 7. The online world, to include podcasting, TikTok, Instagram, and so forth, has this distinct market for actionable content. Most of it's timely, or even worse, time-dependent, with current events, usually in an array of graphics, AI mic drops, and mind-numbingly fast editing and render times from a myriad of clever kids that are out there. The problem is this. It's the astounding lack of originality packaged as something presumed to have detectable caloric content that gets under my nerves. The case in point here, I'm going to reference something that you had to have heard about by now. The intrigue surrounding the news regarding, yes, the pyramids in Giza. It is nearly omnipresent by now. And if you haven't heard of it, then you're just not on social media, or maybe you're a Luddite or a Benedictine monk, or maybe you live at the Earth's core. But my scrolling regimen was loaded with TikTok, after Snap, after Facebook, after Instagram, one hyperbolic, caffeine-addled communicator after another telling me about the network of infrastructure extending half a mile beneath the pyramids and into the Egyptian bedrock. Now, if you haven't heard about it, just stop the nearest Amish guy's buggy that's passing by and say, hey, Obadiah, tell me about the subterranean findings beneath the Giza pyramids. And I'll guarantee you he'll be able to tell you about it. In fact, that's not a joke. Not to get too technical, but the Amish actually do read tech magazines, things like Popular Mechanics. One time I was even riding a Segway along the Sacramento River in my hometown when an actual tour of Amish men were watching me from the parking lot. I buzzed over to them just to say hi, and they managed to start telling me about the internal gyro, kinetic characteristics, speed ratios, and secondary risks. They had read about it, they just hadn't looked at one up close. So when I invoked the Amish as a humorist point of departure, I also assumed that the mathematics behind the Giza developments are somehow understood by them. As it turns out, two scientists, Corrado Malanga of the University of Pisa and Filippino Bondi of the University of Strathclyde, submitted a very detailed paper about their employment of synthetic aperture radar, known as SAR, in 2022. And for some reason, they apparently waited until 3 years later to convert it into a press release, if I understand the scenario correctly, and that part isn't a misunderstood portion of all of the news briefs. In short, they claim to identify five identically structured, multi-leveled structures, along with eight vertical cylindrical wells encircled by spiral pathways, descending 648 meters into the ground. They ultimately arrive at two massive cube-shaped structures measuring 80 meters on each side, apparently. All this below the Khafre Pyramid. That's the one in the middle. Effectively, the Peter Brady Pyramid. Anyway, the paper is loaded with diagrams and mathematical formulas I will not pretend to understand. All I know is it reminds me of Isaac Newton's Principia Mathematica and looks all scientific, embroidered, and complicated. Okay, so let's dispense with whether or not I think it's possible for that to be there, although I do. It's the here-and-now reactions of people that irritate me, forcing me again to study history as opposed to contemporary issues. And in this case, it's content creators themselves, ironically. The TikTok world exploded literally 2 days ago. Joe Rogan talked about it, although his long-form conversation format at least justifies it as a passing conversational moment if somebody manages to bring it up within the course of a 2.5-hour show. But the blatant whoring for traffic on the matter is what killed me in terms of other content creators. I watched more empty catapults launch on this matter than I care to admit. Not an original thought in the entire pile. But then even more irritating than the ad hoc theoreticians weighing in on it is the classic skeptics veto. You know, these are the guys that never care how much research or buildup you've put into your point that you've just cited into your possibly very detailed argument. He's just the guy that shows up intoxicated on his own paint-huffed mic drops from Adam Ruins Everything and says, source? And by the way, that is what happened with the crown jewel of dubious, biased, and many times tainted practitioners of what was one time deemed to be the holiest of cultural vocations, the quote-unquote fact-checker. And in this case, I'm specifically pointing to the appalling cabal of sour grapes gripers at Snopes.com. Because after these two scientists proffered their paper complete with the explanatory disclaimers about limits of in the technology that they're using, Snopes decides to simply label their claims as, quote, false. With their stupid red stop sign logo they use to supplement their lazy tomato bombs from the Statler and Waldorf balcony. No one deserves a slap in the face in the Marty McFly sort of way more than that type of non-playing character. But Snopes' justification? The paper hasn't been peer-reviewed. Well, perhaps Snopes should have been peer-reviewing themselves when they found themselves, quote-unquote, gutted by a major plagiarism scandal that at one time used to ruin careers. This was in 2021. Fact check, true. Another hard-to-swallow aspect of the here-and-now for me, forcing me into the historical margins, is the online super sleuth that populates the comments section of current events, mainly high-profile cases. Now, particularly in my own town right now, is the ongoing case of Nikki Ching Saley McCain, who is now presumed by law enforcement to be deceased based upon evidence that has not been released to the public. She is a young mother who disappeared under mysterious circumstances, and she disappeared just as simultaneously the disposition for a domestic violence case was about to get underway with her husband. A number of mysterious and anomalous events have taken place, many of them admittedly suspicious, and things do appear at the outset to point to certain conclusions in the world of Occam's razor. And I have discussed my own suspicions, however, I do it in private. Now, you can search Nancy Grace's show for further background on the matter, and I also briefly covered the case in short form on an earlier episode, but I was talking about the Papini phenomenon, but you can go listen to that show. Unfortunately, I can offer nothing new, and I genuinely pray for her family, so I'm not just going to go and attempt to get traffic based upon her name. A little over a week ago, a sudden and significant law enforcement presence was seen at the primary property. Well, that's all it took for every single post-nascent Nancy Drew to kick in with their ice-cold, ironclad theories. The thing is, I could tell what television shows people watch just by reading the comments. The fans of the show called Media managed to see themselves leading law enforcement to a body somewhere based upon the latent gifts of metaphysics and necromancy they just realized they had. You know, those paranormal quote-unquote gifts. 18 different variations of Adrian Monk were in there, summoning their autistic savant alter egos, making entire itemized inventories of the scene with one glance, citing background anomalies, misplaced yard tools, unexplained ground disturbances, and so on, pretending their cognitive gifts would allow them to count cards in a 5-deck blackjack tournament at the Flamingo if they weren't trying to solve hometown crime in a Facebook comments thread. And by the way, if they think they're Rain Man, they'll also freak out if somebody starts to rearrange their baseball cards or get them to board a plane. So, you know, get over yourselves. Then, of course, there's the show Lie to Me. The razor-sharp ability to read facial tics, micro-expressions, agitated nose scratches, counterintuitive head shakes, and confer them all onto the one person they suspect of committing the crime. Good, I get it, but here's the problem. Sherry Papini was also from my hometown. She was also missing for, 22 days, 33 days. In that time, her husband Keith sustained the most unrelenting series of pro bono personal attacks, murder accusations, and implications of adultery and spousal abuse from the same appalling cadre of know-it-alls who preferred to sail into the high seas of slander with the patch over the good eye than to ever restrain themselves in a public forum. That was until the time his scheming wife came screeching back into the picture with one humdinger of a story. And dare I say, she was alive. Suddenly, all the wannabe Sherlocks had to shut their mouths and were silent. Just kidding. They moved on to Sherry's motives. Nothing shuts these people up. So you see why I like history? What do Lincoln, Manson, Jane Mansfield, Virginia Woolf, Houdini, Doyle, Mary Shelley, and Jimi Hendrix all have in common? They're dead. That's what. Okay, that sounds harsh, but so after all this ranting by me, and believe me, I enjoyed every last bit of this, you may ask, but didn't you start out by saying you thought you had the over-under on a cold case? Well, I did. The difference is I called the people that could do something about it, and now I have what I believe to be a clearer picture of what I found, at least I hope so. So when I share these revelations next week, it will simply be the continuation of a story and assumptions I made and the conclusions that were revealed to me by others in the know, and not my narcissistic need to pretend I'm doing a Benedict Cumberbatch monologue in the back of a London cab. As for me and my podcast, we will serve history. And this is box number 7.